The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Shelburne, St. Pat's Athletic and Shamrock Rovers are all in European action over the next few weeks, hoping to qualify for the league phases of their respective competitions for next season. But one European tie made headlines recently as it took place 65 years after it was due to be played. Here to tell us more about that and other strange abandoned matches is Cameron Hill from Off the Ball. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
So tell me about this match that was ultimately played 65 years after.
Well, Glenavon were Irish League champions in 1960, and they were drawn in the European Cup against their counterparts from East Germany, then known as Wismut. Rory Carroll from The Guardian went to this game and covered this game and said that political tensions between the West and the Soviet bloc meant that the Irish League champions could not obtain visas to play the German club, then known as Wismut, at their stadium in Saxony, about 200 miles south of Berlin, behind the Iron Curtain. The East German League champions couldn't obtain visas for Northern Ireland either, and UEFA allowed home and away legs to be played in neutral countries, but Glenavon could not afford that, and the games were scrapped. So then Adam Carson, Glenavon's support liaison officer, floated the idea about 4 years ago about playing out the fixture and finally getting it over the line. Last July, the team did fly to Germany. They found the funds and played the spiritual first leg, which they lost 5-0. And then Erzgebirge Aue, who are now Wismut under their current name, they came to Lurgan just earlier this month for the return leg, along with 1,000 of their fans, and won that game 2-0. So a nice end 65 years on.
Yeah, although the competition was long over, shall we say.
Yes,
anyway,
who they play next.
Now, there's another extraordinary match you want to talk about. Sheffield United hosting West Brom WBA in the Championship in the year 2002.
Yeah, so a year prior to this fixture, Jorge Santos, not the former disgraced US congressman, had come off the worse in a challenge by Andy Johnson of Nottingham Forest. He had elbowed Jorge Santos while going up for a ball, and Santos sustained a double fracture of the eye socket, so not at all pleasant. Mm. Johnson's now at West Brom a year later, and they're due to play, and Santos is named on the bench, probably advisedly. And 9 minutes into the game, United's goalkeeper Simon Tracy came outside of his area to bat away a lobbed effort from Chris Dobie, who was closing in on goal. He was shown a straight red card. Goalkeepers can't handle the ball outside the box. That should have been a warning sign. So Dobie opens the scoring for the Baggies. The lead is then doubled by the hour mark by Derek McInnes. So an hour is played in this game and passes pretty much without incident other than that. Two goals and a player down, Sheffield United manager Neil Warnock sent on Cameroonian striker Patrick Soufo, who Nick Ames describes as built like a heavyweight boxer, and Santos. Ah. That was never going to end well. So less than a minute after the subs come on, McInnes makes a poor pass to Johnson, forcing him to try and meet the ball. Santos goes in for a 50-50 challenge that can be described generously and goes high over the ball, sends Johnson pirouetting into the air before he lands, clutching his knee in agony. People might know this clip. It's kind of gone viral over the last couple of years on TikTok. And Santos is sent off straight away. There's a fracas, players from both sides rushing in to give their take on the argument. Patrick Soufo comes in, is sent off after a replay showed him slamming his head into McGuinness's, leaving the goal scorer bloody and opened. So he's also sent off.
So how many players does Sheffield United now have left on the pitch?
Well, between the goalkeeper and the two lads who just come on, they're down to 8 players. This is where things get really tricky because Warnock has already used all his subs. So Michael Brown, interestingly, pulls up with around 13 minutes to go. He can't be subbed off. They've used all their subs, so he has to go off. So now Sheffield are playing with 7 players, which is the minimum amount you're allowed to play with before the game can be abandoned. Funnily enough, Robert Ullathorne suddenly pulls up with a mysterious injury. Eddie Wolstenholme, the referee, has no choice, has to call a halt to proceedings. West Brom manager Gary Megson, furious with this apparent masterclass in gamesmanship, while Warnock afterward joked, "I wouldn't imagine Gary will be having a drink with me tonight." So that was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Who knows, maybe there were genuine injuries, but one thing is for sure, Santos and Soufo never played for Sheffield United again.
My goodness, a match down to 7 men and finally one fake injury, I presume.
Interestingly, yeah.
Now, let's talk about weather calling a halt to proceedings. A solar eclipse?
Yeah, usually it's waterlogged pitches, frost on the pitch, but a solar eclipse was a new one. So Torquay United were scheduled to play Portsmouth in the first round of the English League Cup on the 11th of August 1999. A solar eclipse was due to take place that day, and Devon police feared that an influx of tourists would leave themselves spread too thin from a personnel point of view, because, you know, Torquay, Portsmouth, huge rivalry, and the match was rescheduled and ended in a nil-all draw. So what was the point in that?
And there was another game in Devon postponed in 2018. What game was that?
Teignmouth were due to host Crediton United in a South West Palencia Division 1 each match, which we were all probably willing to watch. One problem, Teignmouth's goalposts hadn't arrived for the game. So that wouldn't be delivered in time, it turned out. And Crediton weren't able to host the tie themselves, as the club was hosting a quote-unquote function. So the game was abandoned. According to local media, the Teignmouth ghosts eventually did arrive. So no such event will happen again.
Now, we're going to 1996 now, and Scotland going to Tallinn for a World Cup qualifier against Estonia. What happened?
This is great. So Scotland, fresh from Euro 96, chest puffed out as they made the trip to the Baltic Minnows. They turned up at the Kadrioru Stadium and complained that the floodlights were inadequate. FIFA sided with the Scots, and the game was brought forward from the original kickoff time at 6:45. It would now get underway at 3. This slight and its consequences seriously annoyed the Estonians. They were especially concerned that the late change would mean the game couldn't be shown on TV, resulting in big losses in advertising revenues. So Estonia just didn't turn up for the match. Scotland took to the pitch at 3 o'clock, facing an empty Estonian half of the pitch. No anthems, no nothing. Captain John Collins takes one touch of the ball, and 3 seconds later, Miroslav Radman, the referee from Yugoslavia, calls a halt to the game and brings the Scotland players off the pitch. Scotland fans jokingly chanted, "There's only one team in Tallinn," and then they left the stadium. That's not the end.
That's not the end. What happened?
So according to the Independence match report from the 9th of October 1996, as the Scots were preparing to leave for the airport, the floodlights at the centre of the controversy flickered into life. The electronic scoreboard was still stubbornly showing the kickoff at 6:45, and the Estonian military began assuming their positions for the anthem. The Estonian team eventually turn up at the stadium later in the afternoon for the original kickoff time. So they weren't backing down. FIFA then sides with the Estonians. There's a belief that FIFA's president was Swedish at the time, and Sweden were also in Scotland's World Cup qualifying group. So if Scotland were given the default 3-0 win, it would have seriously harmed Sweden's attempt or possibility of qualifying. So the game was replayed in Stade Louis II in Monaco in 1997, resulting in a nil-all draw. Pointless.
Now, a game abandoned for not speaking to the referee. So what's that about?
Well, I was trying to find Irish examples, and it seems very hard. If people out there want to text in or send them to my Instagram at the Cameron Hill, I'd love to hear them. But Cross McGlenn seemed to be at the centre of a couple of them. So they were meant to take on Bally McNabb in the Armagh Senior League in 2015. 20 minutes into the game, Cross's joint manager, John McEntee, came onto the pitch to speak to his goalkeeper, Paul Harty. As he leaves the pitch, he makes a comment to the referee, Michael Leonard. Leonard calls McEntee back to speak to him to clarify and clear the air. But McEntee wouldn't come back, didn't present himself within 3 minutes. So the referee calls the halt to a game and it's abandoned. Cross McGlenn said they were not aware that McEntee had been called over to the referee, but the decision appears to have stood. And then before I came in, someone sent me an article from 2014 that Cross McGlenn were playing another league game, this time against Drummond T. Now, the Drummond T team had been at a wedding the night before, and if they didn't play the fixture, they would have received a 48-week ban across all levels, so underage levels in Armagh too. So a group of men, mostly dressed in jeans and not wearing football boots, took to the pitch and fulfilled the fixture, and then it was abandoned.
I'm sure we'll hear some more strange tales. Cameron, thank you very much. Cameron Hill from Off the Ball, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.